Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Real Films. Today, we're going to be discussing The Last of Us Season 2, Episodes 4 and 5, because we couldn't do last week. My name is Jason, and I have a guest with me here today.
I'm Ronnie.
Let's get started. So let's talk about episode 4 real quick. Episode 4 starts off with Isaac's backstory, which wasn't explicitly showed to us in the game. It was more like truck that was in the game, and you can see like notes and stuff that Ellie's scavenging through. But it was very cool to see Jeffrey Wright back in the role. He was the voice actor in the game, and I did like the backstory of him. You know, he used to be a Fedra agent, and then he basically betrayed everyone. Thought, you know, they weren't doing the right thing, and then joined what they're called, the Wolves now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very cool to see. I also loved seeing Alana Ubok in this original character. I thought she was really cool. But yeah, what were your thoughts on the opening, at least, for just episode 4?
Well, I liked it. It was a bit... And we can get into this later, but the show needs to have longer episodes because it felt like it was very... Boom, bada bing, it's done. But I do like having more Isaac presence because in the game, we barely even see him. And
I don't even remember him now that I think about it.
He's in like three scenes in the game. And here we get like more fleshed out character, and he feels more like the leader that he should have been in the games. And he's just a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Which, don't we get like a torture scene?
Yeah, he's torturing one of the Scars a couple episodes. No, minutes later.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because the way he betrayed like the other Fedra agents, he basically pulls one of them aside because this dude didn't seem like a dick like the other Fedra agents. Pulled him out, threw a bunch of smoke grenades in there, basically killed everyone inside of that. And then you see that same dude he saved later on, and now he's acting like a dick too. He wasn't like that in the like 11 years ago flashback.
I didn't notice that it was him when we were watching.
I didn't either.
Oh, that's just a random guy. Like, cool. Yeah. He's with the WLF. He believes in it. But now that I know like that it's the same guy, I don't know. It was quaint. The show does a lot of stuff like that. They do, don't want to get too ahead of myself, but in episode 5, where that we see Park in the basement when she's talking about her son, it's just like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It is also really cool seeing how, like, in the previous episode, there was, like, some type of disagreement or, like, rebellion between the Scars and the Wolves. This episode made it clear it's a full-out war. Like, there's, like, certain territories you can't cross. There's apparently a truce, and then somehow got broken.
Yeah.
And they're very playing into, like, the religious cult aspect is one thing that I love seeing in the game, and I feel like they're going to be exploring a lot more in the show. There's one quote from the dude that was being tortured by Isaac. You've had a lot of wolves turn into Scars, but you don't see any Scars turning into wolves. I thought that was very cool. That was also like a breaking point for Isaac because he ended up shooting him right after he said that, which was, I think, was pretty cool.
That entire monologue with Jeffrey Wright was just, honestly, it's peak. It's it shows exactly what Isaac thinks, how he thinks, how the WLF thinks, and and then him having like this dialogue with this prisoner who's being tortured under like, you know, extreme circumstances. He's still like adhering to his religion, and so you see the Seraphite side of things and how they think. And I think that confrontation between them in that one scene does a lot of heavy lifting for the rest of the season, I think.
Yeah, because they would rather die than like give up information or like turn to a wolf or something like that, which just shows like how committed they are and how much they believe in their leader. I forgot her name.
She doesn't really have a name.
I don't think she has a name, right? Yeah. Okay, good. But yeah, that religious woman figure, they all believe in her. So I thought that was really cool to see how committed they are and they're willing to die for it. But yeah, that's really all we get from Isaac in the episode. Now let's talk about our two leads. This was their episode. They had the most screen time.
Yeah.
You see Dina and Ellie. They're in Seattle. This is Seattle day one. And so they're in a record store, right? And they have like a lot of like quips to each other. You can definitely tell that the showrunners are trying to build off their chemistry even more. There was a scene in the record store where they stumble onto to like, you know, hold out for a little bit. They put Shimmer the horse there.
He's still there, by the way.
Yeah, that horse is still there.
Hopefully he can break out or she can break out somewhere. But
it'd be so funny if the showrunner just forgot about the horse. Like, oh my god, we completely forgot.
I mean, at least she didn't get blown to smithereens like in the game.
Yeah, that does happen in the game. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But Yeah, and then you see Ellie pick up a guitar and she's playing a song that Joel taught her. And at this point, we actually technically don't know that Joel taught her how to play the guitar like that, at least in the show perspective.
It's like mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, but like you can see like the stuff that like Joel taught her. Dina walks in and she's almost like mesmerized, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you can play like that. Mm-hmm. Sits down, listens to her sing and play the guitar. I thought it was a very sweet scene. And it was in the game, but in the game you actually played the guitar with her, which was kind
of
cool.
I like that. I like the interactivity of the guitars in the game. I'm glad they brought the music element back in. I mean, I knew they were going to do this scene. It's iconic. But we see later that they're keeping that whole music theme of her picking up the guitars that she finds. And it's her connection to Joel. Mm-hmm. And that scene really encompasses that. And Dina, as the Mummer said, honestly, oh my God, she is so good. Like, her face when she's like looking at Ellie play the song and the emotion on her face, like you can really, honestly, I thought that the scene played better here than in the game because in the game, yes, it's in the back of our heads. We know that Ellie is thinking about Joel when she's playing the guitar, but like Dina's just, okay, I don't want to trash on game Dina, but game Dina is just there.
She's just there.
Yeah.
Like, she has like no, like, she doesn't have a backstory, her motivation. She's just there to follow Ellie where she goes. In this episode, it is like personal. Her, she does care about getting Joel's killers, and then you know that's also explored more in the next episode we'll get to later. But yeah, I thought it was very cool. Like Dina just feels so much more alive, and she has a personality
for sure
in the show, and that is one thing I'm so glad they changed. And like now I'm like, wow, I actually like Dina as a character. She's entertaining. I don't, in the game she was just so boring.
It's like in the game she does get her little backstory, but a lot of the heavy lifting in the game comes from her being with you the entire time, being your sort of ally, and so that does a lot of it. And so there's been a lot of conversations about give or takes between the show and the game. This is one of the strengths of the show, where we have more ability to get into people's backstories without sacrificing gameplay because players want to shoot things.
So that small record shop scene happened, and that is soon followed by them stumbling upon the news station, which was it was really graphic. They walk in, and this is when you can tell how severe this war is between the wolves and the scars. Yeah, there is just a bunch of people hanging with their intestines spilled out.
Yeah, and this was like the first time it hit me. Like, there's been violence in the show, like this past season for sure. This is where it hit me, where it's like, it's really different seeing this in the game than it is seeing like real life people in this just extreme violence on display.
Yeah.
It kind of just like takes you aback for a second because up to this point, you know, Ellie and Dina don't know the full severity of this conflict. And when they see that, like, the tone immediately drops down to, like, game levels. And it doesn't stay there because this show likes to go up and down. But in this moment, I was like, yeah, now we're cooking with gas. And the whole, like, section where she, like, they're sneaking about, like, it's just like the game. Yeah, and that was cool. Good.
And it also shows, like, how like, scars, like, they're not just killing to kill. They're killing to, like, as, like, a sacrifice almost. It's, like, it's almost like a ritual, the way they're killing people, which is kind of interesting. Because usually, like, for Ellie and Joel, it's, like, kill or be killed.
Yeah.
No, they don't take, like, hostages or anything. They literally, like, kill them, like, rip their guts out and send a message to the wolves, which
it's
is
a message,
it's a lot more, like, personal in that sense. And it was cool that after seeing the behind the scenes, those were all real people. Hanging
really
from there. Yeah, it's not CGI. They literally got like people with the prosthetics on them and they're hanging.
Oh, that must be so weird as an actor to even come across.
Can you, if they like hold still, act like you're dead?
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh.
I do enjoy like the barks that the NPCs were having in the background when they were thinking about. Like, I was like, it's moments like this where I'm like, the showrunners love this game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then soon after, they're ambushed by the wolves.
In the subway?
Yeah, in the newsroom first.
Oh, yeah, in the newsroom.
They show up, and they're like, oh, my gosh, everyone's dead. All the wolves are dead by the scars. And now Ellie and Dean are like, oh, we have to get out of here. And
First kills.
Yes. First kills in Seattle, which is very interesting. It shows that, like, these two can do a lot of damage. And, yeah, the wolves, they get onto them. They eventually escape. And then they end up in the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're going to escape and everything's going to be good. But the wolves are also there. but entire horde of infected are also there. And we get a really cool action sequence. One of the biggest complaints from season one was there wasn't that many infected. This was an entire horde.
They use hordes a lot in the show. Uh-huh. Like in the game, it's like, what, a couple clickers?
And yeah, they're like spread about.
Yeah, spread about. And this whole sequence, I could not stop thinking like this would make like a good like horror like experience, like a walkthrough, like walking through the train and like the zombies on
like
the
side. Haunted house.
Yeah. But like, it was just really cool seeing Ellie and Dina work together. Yeah. Dina is the brains, but Ellie gets shit done. So they have that dynamic that I think works well. They highlighted a lot in the show, almost to a point where it's like, we get it.
Yeah.
But I do like that dynamic that they have.
Yeah. It was really cool. And also, going back to what I was saying before about using real people, they were all real. Mm-hmm. So they just hired a bunch of people, put prosthetics on them. And that entire train sequence was very suspenseful and intense, and I thought that was really cool. And then the way that sequence ends, they get through one of the gates. Dina gets stuck. Infected is about to bite her. Ellie jumps in and lets the infected bite her arm instead. Mm. And now Dina's like, I am going to have to kill pretty much her best friend at this moment.
Oh, they're besties.
They're besties, yeah. And I thought that was a very cool thing. There was a scene in episode two where Tommy kind of had to do the same thing. One of his like commanders in like the watchtower area in Jackson, he got bit, and the dude knew that Tommy had to kill him. And you can just tell as they're like running away from the subway, like Dina's like thinking, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to kill Ellie. They finally get to a safe space, which is the theater, and they have this like huge standoff where Dina has the gun pointed towards Ellie, and she's like, don't make me, this is already as hard for me as it is. And Ellie is just like, don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. I'm immune. And Dina's like, what the fuck are you talking about right now? Because at this point, there's nothing like this, like, ever in the show.
Right, yeah. I really like that exchange. Yeah. Also, putting more emphasis on the fact that Ellie gets bit a lot. I know in the game, they use spores to show that she can survive these types of situations. But I kind of enjoy that. Not enjoy, that's a weird word. But like, I appreciate the fact that like it's showing that she can get bit a lot. Uh-huh. I think in the second game, she only gets bit once. At the very end. And we don't
So that was a very cool interaction. And then Ellie's like, all right, I'll be over here. I'm going to be sleeping. If I don't turn, we're chilling. Yeah. If not, you can just shoot me, I guess. And then she wakes up. She's still normal. Dina says something pretty personal. She's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they lose that in like the first scene.
Yeah, she
like,
kept throwing up. Which,
she went to go get the birth control test.
At the very beginning.
Yeah.
And then as soon as she says that, they
get freaky deaky.
They get freaky. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now this is where I have a problem. Okay. In this episode, I didn't think it was natural to do it right after that, which was the weird thing. I don't like if you find out someone's pregnant, and it's by someone else. And as of right now, they haven't like broke up her and Jesse. Technically, like we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
They've been doing it for 3 months.
Apparently. Yeah. Dina's alludes to them like kind of being off.
Yeah, like she senses like, mm-hmm. oh, he's not happy or whatever like that.
Yeah, I could see what you're saying. Uh-huh. I think it was very abrupt, but also thinking about some of the behind the scenes thing that comes after the show, where it's like Dina thinks that she's lost Ellie forever. Like this whole future that she's seen with her is completely gone, and now. Like, the moment that she realizes that it's not over, she realizes that she almost lost Ellie without confronting her feelings about her, and that kind of spurs it. Now, I don't think realistically it would get to all that, but, like, at least a kiss or something, right? Yeah. Because it's the first time they do kiss, right, in the
well,
besides the dance.
Yeah, besides the dance.
Yeah, besides the dance. Yeah.
But, and this is very different to how it plays out in the game. Mm-hmm. When Dina tells Ellie she's pregnant in the game, Ellie pretty much goes off and he's like, you're a burden. What are you doing?
She's kind of a bitch.
Yeah. And also, in the game, Dina says she's known for like weeks, apparently. Like she's new, like maybe she was pregnant for weeks. So.
Dina in the show kind of knows. Like, come on. Like,
she's throwing up. Yeah. She even says, like, I've seen a lot of crazy shit and I normally don't throw up. And now she's starting to throw up like regularly. So that.
Yeah.
Kind of clues to it, but But yeah, they, you know, they get freaky. They wake up. I don't know. I'm not blaming Bella on this. I think it's the writers. I think some of the dialogue was just a little unnatural when Ellie's saying, like, I'm going to be a dad randomly because Jesse's still alive. He is the father.
You know, I guess she's joking around, but yeah. Like, I, as much as I love the show, I still love the show. I will agree that some of the writing has been kind of off this season. Mm-hmm. Now, would I think Game Ellie would say this? Hell no. But what I think Show Ellie would say this, yeah, she's kind of cringe. And like, I don't, and not as like ticked off about it as other people I've seen. It's like, I'm like, yeah, she's kind of just cringe. Ellie is kind of cringe, like even in the games sometimes. So maybe it just kind of popped out. But that whole exchange was just kind of like,
it was unnatural.
After everything that we had just seen, and this is what I was talking about earlier, the show likes to go high, low, high, low. We've just had this like intense sequence where like it's life or death. Uh-huh. And then the next morning we're, you know, I mean, give them the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. They just got together. They're in their honeymoon phase. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
So they're just down bad, which?
Yeah, I think Ellie's down and down bad. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
But what I was going to say was like, like you said, the high lows, and like there's like going from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. It, when you're putting like a game that I think the second one was like our average around like 20 plus hours to a show with like maximum like an hour and 15 minute episodes.
Yeah.
It is very hard for pacing purposes, at least. That's the one thing I had about the first season where it's like it just kept going.
Yeah, they had those issues too in the first season. This is not new.
And that's when, like, when you're having an adaptation like that, even for, like, books, right? They always made, like, a full book into a movie. You have to pace it in a way because the story was made for a video game, not for a show.
Yeah.
And this is where I feel like they can get kind of creative with it and organize scenes differently and not just completely stick exactly what happens in the game, but rather keep all those elements and, like, the main story beats.
Yeah.
And then like rearrange it to how they see fit. Because right now I feel like they're going band for band for what's happening in the game right now.
In the fourth episode, yes, I do think that. In the fifth episode, they do some things that are different that kind of changes, like what you're saying. They change around the events to kind of make it work for the show, to kind of work for the pacing. Mm-hmm. And I guess we can get into that when we get into that. But what I do like at the end of this episode is that Ellie and Dina go together. Dina's not at the theater for the whole time, just kind of being like, wow, wow. Because she is kind of a burden in the game, to be fair to Ellie's part. Yeah. Here, no, she's not, which I like.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's all we really need to talk about for episode 4.
Yeah, it's just kind of middle.
Yeah, let's go to episode 5. Much better episode. And the opening scene, we see the leader of the wolves, played by Alana Ubach, and spores are finally introduced in the show.
In a very cool way, by the way. I love the little monologue that she does. And they do a very good job about this in the show, more than in the game. Mm-hmm. They emphasize the evolution of this infection and like the danger of it way more. Like the tendrils and like the hive mind, which they kind of forgot about. No, they still kind of do that.
Same with Jackson, like the attack they found out. Yeah.
With the hive mind, it like makes like, oh shit, like this is serious business. Mm-hmm. And then we see that realizations on both of these people's faces, the leader of the WLF, or one of them anyway, and this, you know, soldier that like, this thing is evolving into something that like maybe can't be stopped, like spores. Like they didn't even know like if they had need to use gas masks or whatever. Yeah. So it ratchets up the stakes a lot.
Exactly. And it was really cool seeing like they're going to they're in the hospital right now. Mm-hmm. They go to like one of the basement levels. Oh, there's like infected. And they go down one more. And then that quote, it's in the air.
Yeah.
How people can now get infected just from like spores. If it's in the air, you're going to turn into an infected, which I thought was pretty cool. Also, I liked how, the soldiers, they were definitely a thing. It was, I think they hinted that near the end of the episode because you can see like the name tag and stuff like that.
Well, are you talking about like the lady who's talking about like the spores in the
beginning? Yeah, she's the one that like closed it off.
Yeah, like that's her son.
Oh, it's her son?
Yeah, the one who's dead.
Oh,
because at the end of that conversation, she's like, I'm sorry about your son, which is what they're referring to. And then we see that same last name.
I thought it was someone important to her. I actually didn't know it was her son, actually. I think I missed.
And it's so short, but I can see what the writing is trying to show.
Yeah.
Joel, we love Joel, but he, for the life of him, he would never give up Ellie like that ever. Yeah. And now we see the other side of the parental coin where it's like she sacrificed her son for the greater good of the collective. And it shows that it just shows that like that conflict between like saving your loved ones versus saving everybody else. Yeah. And then they just kind of forget about it. They just kind of like don't talk about it again.
Like, and the son even like says like close us in like right now. So when you're screaming like that, because he knows he's about to die. Or he's about to turn infected. I think she knew that too. So at that point, it's like you gotta do what you gotta do. And that's so I thought that was very cool. You know, they're slowly hinting at the hospital levels below.
Rat King mentioned, by the way. Rats. Yeah,
we don't know what that is, by the way, guys. But yeah, they're teasing some very cool stuff that'll be happening next season. So that'd be very cool. Talk about the spores. So Dina and Ellie are now, they're leaving the theater and they're venturing towards the hospital.
Yeah.
And there was a scene in this show that was never in the game. And that was Dina's backstory. And I thought that was such an important thing to add for this story. And I'm so glad they did it.
I'm happy about where they put it. Because in the game, I remember there is a little bit of Dina's backstory. We learned about her mother and her sister. We don't know what happens to them. And then she talks about her Jewish background when they're in the synagogue.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much, literally, for the rest of the game, that's all we get about Dina. Here, we've had more of Dina's backstory. And here, and I've seen a lot of people kind of, I think, misread this scene. Where it's like, they're saying that Dina is driving the action. Dina is acting like the main character. And here I'm like, well, no, putting the scene into context, they've just come across, you know, last episode and this episode, extreme acts of violence. And Ellie, up to this point, hasn't really thought about the cost that comes with, you know, going after Abby. And she realizes that she could easily lose Dina in this, like, very graphic way. And she kind of is like, yeah, we can go back. Doesn't mean Ellie doesn't want this revenge. She, of course, obviously she does. But she wants Dina to be safe. But Dina tells Ellie, like, basically, I'm ride or die. Like, if you want to go, I'll go. You want to go back, I'll go back.
Yeah.
And she gives Ellie the permission to feel this rage that she's been hiding and lying about this whole time, trying to be fucking happy go lucky. And you see that change on Dina's face, and you see that change on Bella's face, which I think she was they were really good in that in that scene.
But yeah, all that happens. That also happened with, like, you see a bunch of scars just killed pretty much execution style with, like, the graffiti and stuff, which is in the background just showing, hey, there's, like, a full-on war going out here. And they're sort of caught in the middle of this, which is ups the stakes even more. But yeah, we get Dina's backstory. I think that was perfect. The way they executed that was also very good. It also gave her really good motivation, because it's very mirroring what happened with Ellie and Joel. Yeah. Like, imagine if, like, she had to stay in the house and watch her mother and sister die, just like Ellie had to watch Joel die. She would have went crazy. But that dude's dead, right?
Yeah. You know,
something else to do. But if he did leave, she would have been on the same path, trying to kill him, saying that. So I thought that was very cool, showing showrunners love this whole mirroring aspect they're doing with, you know, Ellie, Dina, Abby. I thought that was very cool. And these, like, small little touches are definitely, they're doing it better in the show, which I really like.
Dina wants this almost as much as Ellie does. And thinking about what comes later in the game, I wonder how that's going to work, because Dina believes in this mission. So I wonder what's going to kind of snap her out of it, because, you know, we have that, not to spoil too much, that rift between them, like, in the end of the game. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. No, I do know what you're saying. Much later in the game. Yeah, that'll be an interesting way how to do it. But yeah, they're heading towards the hospital, and they have to go through, like, this warehouse to get there. And this was probably one of the coolest scenes in the show, in
very
my
cool
opinion.
Yeah.
So they're in this, like, little warehouse thing, and they notice a stalker. And they're like, hey, there's two of us, only one of them. Let's flank the stalker. They look back around, like, wherever they're hiding. There's three stalkers now.
Yeah.
They're screwed.
Yeah.
They turn back around. There's, like, five.
Yeah. That moment was so cool. The way they deal with the stalkers in this show, like,
they're so smart.
They're smart. They're scary.
Yeah.
And they're smart. They're scary because they're smart.
Yeah. And, like, you can tell, like, one of the stalkers, the first one they saw at the warehouse, it was, like, mimicking, like, a crying thing. And I was like, that is terrifying. If battles the two of them.
Yeah, but and they kind of, but kind of gets sworn by all these things. Sworn. Yeah,
and this brings up a point that I had from this episode, which is Ellie is such a badass in the game, mm-hmm. in the show. Up until this point, I feel like she can't handle herself on her own. Because, like, the little interaction they had at the beginning of the episode in the theater, showing how, like, Dina's doing all the triangulating stuff. Dina's, like, very smart.
Yep.
She's, like, joking, like, oh, Ellie, you can't fucking do this, pretty much. And then even, like, during, like, combat and stuff, it seems like Dina's a better marksman, too.
I mean, to be interesting. Fair.
Without, like, a sniper, like Tom.
Yeah.
And then the way she's, like, handling, like, you know, just, like, one clicker. But she could have barely taken that one down. And then the more stalkers come, and then, like, you know, she's getting bit. Obviously, something's going to happen. Mm. But it's just, like, she was very, like, tactically smart in the game. But as of right now, I still haven't seen that.
I think this is another thing where it's show versus game. Because in the first season, mm-hmm. there were also these complaints because Joel in the first season can easily take down 30 guys. No problem. No sweat.
Yeah.
The first season, he's struggling with, like, two guys. Mm-hmm. He's struggling with one infected.
Yeah.
And it's the more realistic take of this. And I think the second game, this shift suffers more because in the second game, Ellie kills so many more people, mm-hmm. so many more things. Mm-hmm. And here we see her struggling with these two. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, like realistically in the games, Ellie would have been dead a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually don't think Ellie was that tactical in the game. I just think mm-hmm. that we as the players played her.
We're just too good.
And we're good. Like, we can kill everything. Yeah. And it seems like, but like in the game, she's going into these reckless situations mm-hmm. without any regards to her safety, yeah. without any regards to anybody's safety. Mm-hmm. And we see that on day three a lot more.
Yeah.
And I think here in the show, it's that same thing, but it also is combined with the fact that mm-hmm. she can't kill like 30 stalkers.
But it's just weird how like in the first season with Joel, they still made him a badass. Regardless,
I mean, he was still gritty. He was mm-hmm. still, you know,
but like that rage from Ellie, I'm still kind of waiting on it. We kind of see it at the end.
Yeah, I think that's the shift.
That is the shift, which I like. But I did want a little bit more of that early on because, like in the last episode, like I forgot Joel was dead for like that episode for some reason. They never brought it up.
Four or five.
And four.
Four?
Yeah, because I was like, they're like all happy. And mm-hmm. I was like, where's like the vengeance and stuff?
Yeah.
I was like, their relationship, at least, that's such a big part. Like the vengeance and that cycle of violence, mm-hmm. like it has an impact on their relationship.
Yeah.
Which is something I would like to see more of. I want some more intelligence, at least. And that's writers.
This is what I was getting at earlier. Like this dynamic of Ellie, Dina being the smart one, Ellie being like the one who can get shit done, or the reckless one. Yeah. Like, I get that. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. But in the show, they hammer it over our heads like we just didn't see that last episode and the episode before that.
Yeah.
And so it gets to the point where it's like, is the show just calling Ellie stupid? Because she's not stupid. Mm-hmm. She's smart in different ways than Dina is smart.
But in this episode, they don't show that. Like,
yeah, they don't show it. And they, when they're in the theater at the beginning of this episode,
yeah.
Dina's basically called Ellie dumb. And I'm like, yeah. Yikes.
Exactly. And then, like, when Dina and Ellie are being ambushed, Jesse is the one that comes in, pretty much kills all of them, and saves them. And then...
He does that in the game, too.
He does do that in the game. I do like the actor they picked for Jesse. I think he's going to do great. I hope he gets a lot of stuff.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. And he saves both of them, and they're heading back to the theater as of right now. And then he also says that Tommy is with them, too. Tommy is finally in Seattle.
Yeah.
Fans were like, oh, they're not going to do that. No.
I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
And it makes no sense.
I've had to take a step back from social media because fans are so impatient with the things that happen literally in one episode. Mm-hmm. Everybody I talk to who is outside the zeitgeist of, you know, Twitter and haven't played the game before, they like the show. Like, mm-hmm. there are no complaints about, like, mm-hmm. you know, Ellie's not this, Ellie's not that, because we have the connection to the game.
And we can't get that out of our heads.
We can't. Yeah. Like, it's mm-hmm. impossible. So I don't fault people for that. But mm-hmm. at the same time, like, I have to realize that this is something entirely different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But And then, like, adding on to what I thought about Ellie, Jesse pretty much the same thing. Like, he was like, oh, great triangulation. Ellie's like, oh, that was all Dina. And he was like, yeah, no shit. It's not you.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. And I get it because he's like, yeah, you ran away. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they have to come all the way here just to get them.
Yeah, they've traveled months tracking them. And I'm like, okay, cool. But then, like, we don't see Jesse later. So it just feels like he was just, like, done with Ellie forever. And I'm like, what's going on?
I feel like there's something they're not telling us.
No. Yeah. No. And I think this whole sequence is funny because Jesse saves them. They're running out. Yeah. Wolves are shooting at them. Yeah. They go into this park. Okay. The park is right there. Mm-hmm. It is like 10 feet away from the wolves. Uh-huh. And they're like, we don't go in there. It's like, cool. Yeah. This is border. Mm-hmm. Not even like 2 minutes into the park.
Yeah.
The Seraphites are right there.
Yeah.
Doing this whole ritual. And I'm like, I loved seeing it because it's like, this is right from the game. But like, the thing of this, if this episode was 10 minutes longer, it wouldn't have felt like it was back to back, like wolves this, then Seraphites, then Nora. Uh-huh. Like, it just felt like so rushed and fast.
Yeah.
Even though it was cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was just kind of funny to me that they're just like, and Brooke brought this up too. She's like, they're just like there in the park right there. I'm like,
yeah.
And then the logistics of Dina gets shot. I know why, because they want to get her out of here. So Jesse has to take her back. How does Jesse? I guess we'll never know because like 10 scars are after them. So like how?
Aura.
Yeah, Aura all alone. And I do like, though, that we see Ellie take this moment to the hospital is in view.
Yeah.
Her revenge is in view. Mm-hmm. Her loved ones are back there. She looks back at her loved ones, but she chooses revenge instead.
Yeah.
And this should have been done like an episode or two ago just to give this, just to propel it along. Mm-hmm. But I like that we're getting into it now. We're seeing the dark side of Ellie.
Yeah. You definitely see that when she goes to the hospital, she confronts Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that whole like interaction between them, which is pretty similar to the game.
That whole chase is like very similar.
That was very cool. This does bring up the point where, like, the tactical, like, intelligence, I don't know what Ellie was really doing here.
I mean, we did see her use a little bit of, she's crawling in the grass, like, in the game, like, around the dogs.
That was, like, the only part.
We're getting that. And then she's just, like, kind of in the hospital. In the game, we kind of had to, like, fight people to get in. But she just, like, teleports right to Nora into the hospital. I'm like, I guess she got in somehow.
Exactly.
Do you know the meme? Have you seen like the thing in the games where like if you can get too close to her, she goes whoo.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could think about this entire like chase that was happening. But she gets there, and the conversation with Nora, I really like.
I have one issue with it.
What's that?
It felt like Nora was exposition dumping.
She was exposition dumping a little bit. She's like,
she didn't say any of that, and she was only like, "Oh, you're her. You're the immune girl." So for like the people who are like, you know, listening. Yeah, they end up in the basement area with the spores, and Nora's like, "You just got both of us killed." Ellie's immune, and that includes the spores. And you can just see Nora's pretty much slowly turning infected, and then she realizes that is Ellie's the immune girl from the Fireflies Hospital, and then she just like exposition dumps, saying like, "Abby killed Joel because Joel killed like the one person who could like save the world pretty much."
Like, we already knew that.
Yeah.
First of all, in the game, she's like, "You're her, you're the immune girl." And then, "Don't you know what he did?" Ellie's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah.
Here we get like, "Yeah, Joel, like, he killed all the Fireflies and then he shot Abby's father in the head. Don't you know what he did?" And I'm like, what?
Also, this scene confirms that Ellie knows now. Did we get a confirmation in the show yet that she fully knows?
This is the first moment that we know that she knows in the game as well. Because we've seen flash. I think we've had one flashback up to this point, but we don't have the flashback for where she finds out yet. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what's happened in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
But up to this point in the game, she does know. And up to this point in the show, she also does know.
Oh, no, I meant like the viewers don't know that she knows.
Oh, yeah. They didn't know until now.
So this is we find out that she does know what Joel did.
Yeah.
And now she's asking Nora, where's Abby? She's not going to tell her. And we get another mirroring of she picks up something resembling it's a metal rod, resembles a golf club. And let's just say what Abby did to Joel, she started doing to Nora.
I got to say, the aura that came from Bella Ramsey in this scene alone made me super excited for the future because her line readings, when Nora's like, you killed us both. And she's like, did I? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he did all this. Don't you know? And she's like, yeah, I know. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm like, shit. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, this is the rage that we're looking for. Yeah. And it gets cut so short.
Yeah. And it seems like this that shows like Bella can do like the badass,
she can, you know,
rage shit. But they haven't been writing her like that.
They haven't been giving it to her.
Which is like, hopefully that changes, but there's only 2 episodes left.
Oh my God. Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Because why?
We Disney can't talk about spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't do it. Mm. But Disney does this a lot with their shows too.
Yeah.
But why? Who decided in Hollywood that we need to have 6-7 episode seasons where the episodes themselves without credits aren't even an hour long?
Mm-hmm.
If all of these episodes were at least an hour long without credits,
yeah,
we wouldn't be having a lot of these pacing issues that we've been having. But now I'm worried because, I mean, we were worried when 3 episodes left, but how much they got through in episode 5, I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. they're kind of going fast. Maybe they can do it. But I'm worried that like they're going to rush towards the end like they did in the first season, because even that last episode in the first season was like 45 minutes for the last episode. I'm like, what's going on?
And not just that, the first 2 episodes in the season, I thought they were paced really well. They took their time, but now they're just speeding like crazy. And then the end of this episode, we see Ellie waking up in her bed and Joel's there. And if you see the teaser for episode 6, that looks like a complete flashback episode. So that removes an episode from the main plot line.
From an already short-ass season.
Yeah. Like, we talked about, like, where we thought the season was going to end. And now I'm like, it still could end like that. But that finale is going to be so rushed.
I think, and rightfully so, they're accounting for the fact that, and let's just say that Ellie won't be there much in the last season if they were to do all the things on Ellie's days here, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to dance around it.
Yeah.
But basically the fact is that I don't know if... I'm not worried because season 3 is already greenlit, so we're going to get it no matter what.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably the last season. But
how much of the second half of part 2 are they going to do in that
season? Yeah, and who's going to want to watch it?
Yeah, because a lot of people... Like, when Joel died, a lot of people were like, I'm not playing this anymore. But now when you have someone like Pedro Pascal playing Joel, and a lot of people watch the show because of him, or, like, they were introduced to it if they didn't play the game. With him, like, gone.
And what? even Ellie, like, having less of a presence. Because at least you can attach to her now. But, in, like, the last season, like, well, let's just see how they do it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a little interested to see how this is going to go.
The last episode is 50 minutes. Around there.
That is
45 to 50 minutes. I can't remember the exact number.
Not long at all for what happens.
How are they going to end this?
It seems like it'll be like a cliffhanger.
Oh, for sure.
It's definitely
a cliffhanger. It's going to piss people off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we knew this was going to be a divisive season because the game's divisive as fuck.
Yeah.
But like...
But now there's people who like hated the game or are defending the game now. They're like, what is happening?
And people that like the game are hating on the show because it's not doing everything they want. I'm like, guys, can we
can't get along. No one can get along right now.
This fandom is so toxic.
But as of right now, from what they showed us, the next episode is going to be completely flashback. I hope they include some...
I'll feel like there's a present day stuff.
I hope so. Because the teaser didn't show any of that, which was a little scary because I wanted one thing. And I don't know. And we're definitely not getting it this season, which kind of sucks. But
last thing I'll say, because then I'm probably going over time.
Mm-hmm.
I wish this show stuck to the guns as much as the game did.
Yeah.
Because realistically, this episode should have ended right after the torture scene of Nora. Like, we should have cut to black and been able to sit with the emotions that we have just seen on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I feel like they decided to do this because they're like, hey, that was really bad, okay? But we don't want you to feel too bad because Pedro's back. Look, he's back. Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch the next episode? Yeah, right? And I'm like... You didn't have to do that. Why are you treating the audience like we're babies?
Mm-hmm. We're still going to watch it regardless.
Yeah, we're still going to watch it regardless. And now it just feels like they're We'll see. We'll see.
Like, I do see, like, the segue they're trying to do because, you know, Ellie just finds out that, you know, she knew for a while. So I do understand what they're saying, but they didn't have to show that, you know? They could have said, like, oh, this episode, and it'll tie in really well.
They really didn't.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll keep people watching. And to be fair, a lot of people, I mean, a couple of people will stop watching the show after episode two.
Yeah.
But a fair bit of people have actually kept watching the show, which is interesting. Because in the game, I feel like, and maybe it was just a loud vocal minority, but a lot more people stopped playing the game.
Yeah.
I it's hard to know the difference between social media reality and actual reality.
Yeah.
Until we see numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, at least for me, like, when I played the game, I was one of the fans that actually enjoyed the game. Obviously, people were not going to like the story stuff that happens, but in a way, it was still well-written, you know? Like, the events that happened and how they happened, yeah, people, I disagreed with some of them. But I thought it was still, like, well-written. It was, like, super emotional, and it made me feel the emotions they wanted me to feel. But I feel like they kind of, like, second-guessed themselves and doubted, like, how well Part 2 actually was, regarding, even though it was, like, very divisive. And I feel like they're starting to do things to correct that, even though I don't think they
need it. They don't need to do it. It's wasting time. It's giving us more expedition dumps than we need. And, like, I like the second game. I played it, like, 10 times. I know people can only get through that once.
I can't go through that game.
Sadist or whatever. But, like, and it'll be hard to go back to the game, I think, a little bit, because I like Shodina so much.
Yeah.
But you're right. The game is, no matter what anybody says, I think the game is well-written. Pacing's a little off, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a great game, and they don't pull any punches. They don't baby the audience. Exactly. I think the show could have been the exact same thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I think we hit everything we wanted to talk about for episodes 4 and 5. Yeah, I'm very curious to see how the last two episodes are going to be.
I'm excited for the next episode.
I am excited. I mean, Pedro Pascal's
back. Apparently it's the best episode of the season, which I don't doubt, so.
I mean, Pedro Pascal, like, no matter what gripes you had with some of the casting, Pedro keeps proving everyone wrong no matter what he gets casted into. I was one of those doubters. Like, I knew, like, Pedro Pascal was gonna do a good job, but, like, in the head I'm like, I still can't see him as Joel, you know, before, like, the show came out. After season one, I was like, yeah,
Rose a chameleon. And if they had given Bella more things to do, then I think, I'm not a doubter of Bella, but I can see why people are. And if they had given her more stuff to do, we wouldn't even have this issue.
Yeah.
Like, she's not, they're not a bad actress. People can agree on that. But the things that they're giving Ellie in the show, it's kind of hard to keep defending it where it's like, yeah.
They're shooting themselves off in the foot right now.
Something's off.
First off, the hairstylist, makeup stylist, I don't know what they're doing with Bella. They're not helping her at all.
I do not like her hairstyle. And also, I find it hilarious, by the way, the side tangent. Yeah. Dina's makeup is perfect no matter what. And I get it.
The air dyes and blowout.
She probably has, like, a makeup bag or whatever. I'm like, damn, you look good. And y'all just, like, went through, like, complete, absolute hell.
They all look perfectly fine. In the first season, it wasn't like that. I looked back. Like, Tess, like, she looked worn down. Joel looked worn down. Ellie looked worn down. They look like perfect makeup. They haven't gone through anything, which was a little crazy. And, like, going back to, like, defending Bella and that rage, I've seen that when she was in Game of Thrones. That rage and that badass moments, she did that when she was, like, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
She could do this in the show, and I don't think the writers are really helping her out in that regard.
And in these moments where she's showing that rage, she does seem older. She, people are like, she seems like the exact same age. Actually, if you look at the season one pictures compared to season two pictures, she does seem older. And in that sequence at the end there, like, that's 19-year-old Ellie right there.
Exactly.
And then, I could go on about that, but you know how I feel about that.
Yeah, that was a, you know, 4 and 5, 6 coming on. Daddy Pascal's returning.
Yes, sir.
And that's what we can look forward to for next week. But, yeah, that was this week's episode of Real Films for The Last of Us Season 2, Episodes 4 and 5. And, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.